First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. We're asking you guys to chime in. Should competitive balance matter when it comes to the return of sports? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We might have a situation where some colleges can come back for football and others can't. We might have a situation where some training facilities open up early and others don't. We might have a situation where some people are able to train longer and harder and have more normalcy. So we don't know exactly how any of it's going to play out. So the question we're asking you is, do you even care? Are we so thirsty for the return of sports that it doesn't matter how it looks as long as we get sports back? And I will tell you, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Most of the people are tweeting back, no, they don't care. I'm just getting simple, no. Nobody cares about competitive balance. We just want sports. You can get your take in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget, the All In Challenge fundraiser continues to offer incredible experiences. You can enter to win. It all supports organizations providing food to those in need. Tomorrow, the auction of Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 51 ring from the legendary comeback win over the Falcons will close. But there's still great enter to win sweepstakes opportunities, like the chance to win season tickets for your favorite team for 5 years. Remember, if you go out there and you see the auction items and you think, my God, I can't afford that, that's okay. The enter to win's just like a raffle. It's like a $10, 10 tickets. You can get even more tickets for more money. Even if you've only got a few dollars to spare right now in these times, it's tough times for a lot of people. But if you have a few dollars to spare, you can make a difference. Remember, 100% of the money raised benefits organizations providing food to those in need. If you want to participate or just learn more, visit allinchallenge.com. Hell, just go out there and check out the challenges. They're pretty stinking incredible. So, First Take, your take. A lot of the conversation today had to do with Horace Grant. This is what Horace Grant had to say on Cap and Company on ESPN Chicago 1000 as he talked about Michael Jordan and the, in his words, so-called documentary.
He said, I was a snitch. But yet and still, after 30 or 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' room, his former teammates' room, and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why in the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there. When that so-called documentary is about one person, basically, and he has the last word on what's going to be put out there. What's going to be put out there? It's not a documentary. It's his narrative of what happened in the last quote-unquote dance. That's not a documentary because a whole bunch of things was cut out, edited out. So that's why I call it a so-called documentary.
Well, of course it was edited out, Horace. I mean, let's remember, this footage belonged to Michael Jordan. He's the one that brought in a crew to film everything. This is like going to somebody's house to play basketball. You're using their court. He has the basketball. It's court rules. It's house rules at that point. I mean, if you're walking up to somebody else's house and it's like, hey, we want to use your hoop. We're going to use your ball. You get to make the rules. We don't get any last dance if it's not for the fact that Michael Jordan wanted to let it happen. So, of course, it has some narrative pushed towards Michael Jordan. But let's also admit it. If it was the last dance and over the course of the last 10 episodes, we got 10 hours focused on Horace Grant with a little bit of Michael Jordan sprinkled in, how many people are watching it anyway? Let's be real. Oh, man, of course it's jaded towards Michael Jordan. He's the star. That's like being surprised that certain guys in a boy band get more attention. There's a reason that most of you only remember two guys' names from NSYNC. Come on. Jay Williams, by the way, joined First Take to discuss Horace Grant's comments. This is what Jay Will, Stephen A., and Max had to say about Grant's take on it.
Yes, I do, but I don't have a problem with him coming to his own defense about, you know, accusations that he was talking to Sam Smith. If he's talking about himself directly, he has every right to come to his own defense, especially if he feels like that is a lie. My issue with him was when he intimated that MJ was being a snitch because of mentioning what he had walked into in a hotel room in the early 80s. Jay, Max, don't know if y'all know this, but the NBA was a drug-infested league in the early 80s. Commissioner David Stern is revered and deified as the commissioner, as the former commissioner of the National Basketball Association, God rest his soul, because of what he inherited and what he turned the league into. And anybody that covered the NBA from a reportorial perspective, I can tell y'all right now, I'm not going to mention their names. I didn't hear MJ mention their names, but I can assure you everybody knows who those players were on the squad when MJ first arrived in his first 2 years in Chicago. Just look at the roster. And anybody that covered the NBA, even though I came a decade later, we all heard those stories. We know exactly who MJ is talking about because it was widely known. And so when you look at it from that perspective and you're talking about it again, I have no issue with Horace Grant coming to his own defense. I know that I would have raised up and raised holy hell if I was accused of talking to a reporter and leaking information to that reporter. And I know I'm innocent of that. I have no issue with Horace Grant on that level. But we also got to take into account. And listen, and I've made this point about myself speaking to MJ on several occasions. You know what? I should have been a bit more vivid and a bit more, you know, revealing. He ain't the only person that I've spoken to. It's just that the other players asked not to be mentioned. But I know players that they said Michael Jordan is doing this documentary in. He got money from this. He got like $10 million. Well, Michael Jordan's giving it all away. He isn't getting a dime from this. You have history of players who felt, guess what? Being the billionaire that he is, he should have done more for them. Being the owner for the Charlotte Hornets, he might have should have hired them or done more for them along those lines. He might have been he should have exerted himself and his influence to get them jobs in the NBA, if not with him, with somebody else. These are all the things that are being said and being said by some people who don't want to talk on the record, who don't want to talk on camera, that have an issue with him. So all of those things in their eyes are valid. I understand it. But that doesn't mean that you call him out for being a snitch when he mentioned no names. And oh, by the way, it was a drug infested league at the time and every damn body knows it. And we know exactly what he was dealing with when he first arrived in Chicago because it was pretty damn bad.
I listen to Horace Grant's story the same way I listen to Michael Jordan's story. There's merit in both. I don't think that there's more truth in Michael Jordan's story because he told it from his perspective than I think there's truth in Horace Grant's story. There's two sides to every coin and then there's the truth, right? And it's our job to try to navigate to find what the truth is. I think you guys are both missing the bigger point here, which is a topic that is worth discussing, is that it's been really interesting for me to see the relationships that have occurred with Michael and a lot of his teammates, you know. And, you know, you made mention of this, Stephen A., when you refer to, you know, a lot of people that don't say things on the record. Michael Jordan is a very powerful guy. Very powerful guy, and people I think are afraid to speak out on some of the issues that maybe they potentially may have relationship wise with Michael. And I know it's complex. I know all relationships are complex when you're talking about one of the greatest of all times, because he is so powerful. But I think this is interesting when Horace, not just a comment about snitch, and I'm with you on that. It's when Horace talked about Scottie Pippen. I think it's very fascinating, guys, that potentially the greatest Robin of all time, a guy that Michael Jordan in his Hall of Fame speech came out and said, you know, I couldn't have done any of this without Scottie. I think it was really interesting the way with Brand Jordan being so involved in this, the way Scottie Pippen was depicted. And the fact that Jackie McMullen has written a story about this, that the greatest Robin of all time has not been out promoting this documentary, has not said anything about this documentary. And actually, kind of you feel hurt for him the way he was depicted.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Let me give you some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I keep seeing this, and in fact, I was just tweeting Greenie last hour about this. We keep talking about the way Scottie Pippen was projected in this and way he's shown in this documentary. I guess my problem with trying to worry about Scottie is that Scottie has a bigger platform than any of the people we're talking about. I'll say it again. Who's Scottie Pippen work for? What show do you see Scottie Pippen on all the time? The Jump. You want to tell me that Rachel Nichols wouldn't gladly sit down and give Scottie Pippen all the... Hell, we'd blow this whole show up for 2 hours. Scottie, you want to come on? You work for us. You want the 2 hours to tell your side of the story all day, every day. You can have it. Why is he not doing it? He doesn't care. Man, we are all standing around worried about how guys like Scottie Pippen feel like they're being portrayed. When Scottie Pippen doesn't care how he's being portrayed, he's got his. He's fine. What did he do? He stood up on the camera and said, hey, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't change anything. Why? Because he doesn't give a damn about what you think, and he's not going to relive any of it. I mean, if Scottie Pippen, of all the people involved in this, you want to tell me that, you know, suddenly John Paxson doesn't feel like he was represented well. Well, maybe a little tougher for John Paxson to get the microphone the same way. You want to tell me that Craig Hodges wasn't happy with something. Even Craig Hodges could get some level of microphone. Horace Grant gets some level of microphone. How much mic, how much time could Scottie Pippen get? You want to tell me that if Scottie wanted his side of the story to be told differently, that he couldn't have gone on every single ESPN platform from Get Up all the way to SVP to tell his side of the story? He hasn't. What's that mean? That means you care, we care, everybody cares about this a heck of a lot more than the person that we're supposedly worried about, which is Scottie Pippen, who's sitting back saying, nah, I'm good. I'm comfortable with what I did, and I don't really give a damn about the documentary or what anybody thinks. That's some straight talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. We're getting your straight talk on whether or not competitive balance should matter when it comes to the return of sports. Travis in Illinois, what do you got? What are your thoughts on competitive balance?
Hey, what's going on, Fitz? First, just want to give you some love. That Disney sing-along with you and L. Duncan, you guys crushed that. That was amazing.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
With that said, I think the NBA, out of all the sports, I think it's the NBA that the competitive balance could really be thrown off. You think about it, these guys are, you know, essentially going through almost a full offseason since the last time they played basketball. And when they come back, they're going to be thrown right into basically the playoffs. So the teams that are getting into their facilities and getting more in basketball shape, they're going to have a little bit more of an advantage if they go straight into a playoff format like that.
Well, and look, I don't disagree with that. There is going to be, if we go straight to a playoff for the NBA or for the NHL, thanks for your take on it, Travis. The NBA and the NHL, nobody's talking about the NHL, but let's face it, the NHL is trying to put together a plan to bring us a playoff. So there's going to be some sort of interesting moment there for competitive balance that will come in as a factor. You guys can keep chiming in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The other big discussion today from First Take, obviously, was about the potential changes, and now we do know some changes have been made to the Rooney Rule, and there were some potential bigger changes on the landscape. The question is, how should we feel about potential NFL minority hiring incentives? Stephen A. and Max chimed in on that today.
Well, it's a step in the right direction, but I'm not getting too excited about it because I'm not excited about the owners in the National Football League. As I stated yesterday on the 6 o'clock Sports Center, the NFL has a race problem. I'm going to say it again. The NFL has a race problem. Now, usually when you say something like that, people are looking at numbers and then they'll look at the players and they'll talk about how 65 to 75% of the players in the National Football League happen to be black. That's not my point. My point is the three black coaches and the four minorities, the Ron Rivera making the fourth, along with only two African-American GMs. My problem is individuals like Cliff Kingsbury, who clearly have no resume to be an NFL head coach, but somehow bypasses a slew of people, a lot of African-Americans, even more white folks that are qualified. Somehow, some way, he gets the job. That's my issue. And that's why I said something has to be done about really publicizing the process. Having somewhat of an objective criteria, whether it's offensive coordinators or special teams coordinators, you have to hold one of those positions before becoming a head coach or something along those lines where we're able to look at the process that people have to endure to see whether or not they're qualified for these positions to begin with. We can get into all of that stuff about how guys need to better ingratiate themselves with executives and owners and vice versa. We can definitely explore that. But in the end, the first order of business is making sure that people who are relatively unqualified, who happen to be white, don't get these opportunities. And to any white person out there that would challenge what I am saying, I ask a very, very simple question. And I hate doing it because I don't know Cliff Kingsbury. He's done nothing to me. I have nothing against him. I wish him nothing but the best. But because he got an NFL head coaching job, one of only 32 jobs in professional football, I got to ask this question. If a black man had Cliff Kingsbury's resume, would he have ever had a head coaching job in the National Football League? The answer is an emphatic no. Everyone knows it. It's never happened in history. And these are the kind of things that we have to bring attention to. So the Fritz Pollard Alliance, people like Troy Benson and others in the NFL league office, along with folks that showed up at the quarterback summit at Morehouse College last June, and a plethora of other people. This is a concern that needs to be spoken about. It needs to be broached. That's why we're doing it. This is a step in the right direction. I'm not going to deny that. But I am not excited because they've shown an ability to circumvent or navigate themselves around anything that's been implemented in the past. I don't believe in them yet, as of yet anyway.
The issue, this is a step in the right direction, as you said, Stephen A. If it's part, like the Rooney Rule even originally is not meant to be a panacea. You know, here's this one thing that's going to end racism in the United States, because really what we're dealing with is the results of systemic racism. That's what this is. 30 of 32 owners in the NFL are European American. Forget about white and black. European American. There's one Korean American, Buffalo Bills, and there's one Pakistani American, Jacksonville Jaguars. But when we talk about diversity among owners, we're really talking about African American, because my people are from Eastern Europe, right? They came here willingly for a better life. And that is the story largely of immigrant groups, including Pakistani Americans now and Korean Americans, who are the other, who are the two groups represented here that aren't European American. What we're really talking about is 400 years of systemic racism. That's why there are no black owners in the NFL. And that is, now, I don't mean to say that owners won't tend to be conservative. And by conservative, I'm not really talking political. I mean, are they progressive? Do they want things to change? Or would they prefer to maintain the status quo? Well, to own a team, you have to be a billionaire. So you have benefited from the status quo. Whatever your racial, you know, composition or ethnic background, you've benefited from the status quo. So it will tend to be, I suspect, that, and I think life has proven this, has borne this out, people's experiences for the most part, that billionaires will be conservative in that sense. We like things the way they are. We're billionaires after all. So I'm not suggesting that were there African American billionaires, things would necessarily be so much different. But I do think they would be different. I look at things ranging from Colin Kaepernick's peaceful and respectful protest, kneeling for the national anthem. You know, what was he really doing there? I've said it before. I'll say it again. The irony of that, because you could say specifically police brutality or interactions with communities of color. But really what that's about broadly is systemic racism. And the irony that he wasn't allowed to have a job because he was protesting, in a sense, the fact that he's not allowed to have a job unless he behaves a certain way, you know, is not lost on me. So does the Rooney Rule help? It, sure. Does a revised version help? Sure. Provided there are other measures in place also, including putting talent in the pipelines. But the big issue is ownership.
On ESPN Radio, ESPN News, I'm Jason Pitts. Don't forget, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. With more than 30 unique coverage options available, Progressive knows small business. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Okay, we're going to keep getting your take on competitive balance and whether or not it even matters to you when it comes to the return of sports. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Plus, we're getting down to it on the Primetime Player Countdown. Find out who's number 8. Ooh, you'll find that out next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. It's that time of the day. It is that time of the day. We go through our primetime players. We've been moving through the list. We've been moving up the list. We've been getting to the biggest names in the NBA. Every single day, First Take debates somebody that's next on their list of primetime players. And now, we're moving right along. It is time to take a look and see who comes in on this list at number 8.
The 8th player in our First Take primetime players NBA ranking is Luka Doncic.
Absolutely spectacular from Luka Doncic.
His 22 career triple-doubles are the most of any player 21 or younger in NBA history. Earlier this year, he joined LeBron James as the only players in NBA history with 2,500 points, 500 rebounds, and 500 assists before turning 21.
Deep three, hit it!
Player number 8, Mavericks guard Luka Doncic.
First Take, your take. Obviously, if they're going to give us rankings, we're going to react to it, and so is First Take. And look, Luka Doncic, number 8. My God. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a out of sight, out of mind moment here for Luka Doncic, somebody that early in the season we were calling one of the top players in the league, and I don't think 8 is high enough for somebody in that conversation. We were saying MVP candidate. I mean, Luka Doncic has done some incredible things. This is what they had to say, Max and Stephen A., specifically about Luka being number 8 on the list today on First Take.
He has a real good shot. You know, I would still say Zion because Zion is his athletic ability is just different. And Zion doesn't even shoot it yet. And he's a baby and he's already better than just a run-of-the-mill all-star. But Luka's also a baby. He's 20 years old and he's an MVP candidate. And by the way, he's not really shooting it yet. It's not like you can look at Luka and say there's nowhere to go. He looks like he's going to be a better shooter than the numbers say so far. That sometimes happens with high volume, high usage, very young players. You can see they can shoot, but the shooting percentage doesn't always reflect it because they got a lot to do all of a sudden. But Luka looks like and is putting up the numbers, and his team is winning already, even without Porzingis really at full steam yet. Looks like an MVP team-carrying championship player. And given his age, you would think he's going to spend some years at some point as the best player in the game.
Well, first of all, I can't, you know, summarily dismiss that. Luka Doncic is the real deal, no question about it. And talking to Rick Carlisle, he raves and raves about this guy and said one of the greatest genius moves he's ever done is simply stop being stupid and give this man the basketball. In February of his rookie year, he said, what the hell am I doing? This is the point guard for the squad. And as a result, that just unleashed Luka. We understand that. But I'm leaning towards Jason Tatum. I'm just a huge Jason Tatum fan. He's about 3 inches taller than 2 to 3 inches taller than Luka Doncic. He's clearly a much better defender. He's averaging nearly 20 points on nearly 45% shooting and nearly 40% shooting from 3-point range, which is considerably better than the 3-point shooting of Luka. We like to see those step back threes that he has hit. But nevertheless, he doesn't shoot with the degree of accuracy that that Jason Tatum shoots with from long range. And I just look at Jason Tatum and what he's asked to do and how he's just 22 years of age, just 22. He's got a handle. He's got a shot. He can go to the hole. He can finish at the basket. Plus, he can defend. I love what I see from Zion. I love what I see from Luka. Both of those candidates clearly have the potential. But I got news for you. It would be a mistake to omit Jason Tatum from this conversation. He is right there, and he could overtake anybody. He's got that kind of skill, that kind of length, that kind of athleticism, that kind of defensive prowess as well. He's got the package, man. He's something special.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I think this is a reminder that the NBA is set up for something special moving forward, because you can have a real conversation about where Luka falls in this, where Tatum falls in this, and to me, where Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's obviously going to be the physical specimen that we'll be staring at for the next decade. I mean, the young talent in the NBA is absolutely spectacular right now, and that, if anything, is a reminder of how well-positioned the NBA is. If there's anything we could take away from The Last Dance, we talked about that era of greatness and how many incredible players there were and how many of them, frankly, frankly, were overshadowed by the simple sheer power of the Bulls and Michael Jordan. That's all fine. But after that, there was a period where people were suddenly concerned about star power in the NBA. No more as you look across the board at talent under the age of 25. And it's hard to really make an argument for one person over anybody else as the defining league star for the next 10 years. There are multiple guys that can fill into that role. What I do know is this. Anytime we talk about role of dominance throughout the course of the league, that also means winning at the highest possible level. And if we're going to look across the board at who's positioned to win for the next several years, you've got to like the position that Tatum's in. And frankly, I've got to like the ability of the Mavs to find a way to continue to add to a roster that I think already has a lot of talent. First Take, Your Tank, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you, should competitive balance even matter when it comes to sports returning? Do you care if one team gets into the practice facility early, if there's no home field advantage, if we're talking neutral site games, if only some college football teams are playing in the fall? Do you care about any of it, or does it not matter as long as we get sports back? Chewy in California, what do you got, my friend?
Hey, good morning from the West Coast, Fitz. Hey, you know what? Competitive balance. The first thing that comes to my mind is the monetary side of it. You know, small market when it comes to baseball. I mean, let's go through the sports really quick. NFL, they don't want preseason games anyway. These guys are going to be fine. NBA, okay? Guys have come back after injuries in a season longer than what the layoff has been. And what do? They limit their minutes to 18, 22 minutes. These guys are going to come back and they're not going to be with injury. And, you know, that's hockey. Same thing. You ever try to?
Oh, I lost Chewy. We had Chewy and I lost. We had a Chewy and we lost him. Chewy's right. Like, the layoff is obviously going to have huge implications to everybody on coming back in a positive way. I think the layoff can be a real positive for everybody coming back together. Question is, what do you do for certain guys in the NBA? We'll go back to, there are guys that have already openly admitted they didn't have hoops at their houses. They didn't need them. They live by the practice facility. It hasn't been a big deal. So what do you do if you're a team where you got a superstar that hasn't even shot a basketball in over a month? I mean, that is something that most of these guys haven't even thought about happening in their lives for years. So I wonder how much rust versus rest. We always talk about it at the end of the NFL season. We talk about 1 week off and what it means to rhythm and rust versus rest. I mean, think about that argument when you're talking about months off. I mean, that's going to be such a big part of what we have in the conversation, is what it looks like when it all comes back. Now, speaking of what it looks like when it all comes back, I've been giving my take on the thought of sports without fans, especially given the fact that Jim Harbaugh has openly said he's okay with no fans in the stands if that's what it takes. He'd take that over not having any games at all. Martin and from Alaska, you want to get your take in on it. What do you got, man? What's your take?
Well, I'm against it, and I remember when this whole thing first came up, LeBron was the first one to say that he ain't going to play without fans in the stands. I don't know if he's changed his standing, but I just think that, particularly for professional sports, I mean, to me, and I don't, it's been years and years since I've been to a game live, but nonetheless, when I listen on the radio or even catch a game on TV, you know, the fans make a difference. I think without fans, the games won't necessarily have the same outcome. Some teams respond better to have fans. And I just want to remind everybody that, you know, there have been some years in professional sports where teams or leagues went on strike and had seasons canceled because the players wanted more money. And they even garnered a fair amount of fan support for that. And you know, if they're willing to cancel a season because of money, then I don't see any problem with canceling the season because of something like this. College sports is maybe a little bit trickier, but nonetheless, you know, they've had teams suspended for seasons, you know, for whole years or even more than 1 year, and the school still survived and have sports again. So,
Martin, thanks for your take. Let me say a couple of things. One, you're right. We've had strike seasons that have gone away. I think your remembrance of what that looked like is a little different because, you know, for me at least, when I look back at seasons that were impacted by the strike, be it for Major League Baseball or be it for the NHL more recently, when you look at those two sports, there was huge blowback. I mean, there was absolutely epic levels of blowback to what it meant for the future. Now, that's because it was about money. So if this is about safety, not money, maybe it's viewed differently. But the other part of it is you're talking about one sport. You're not talking about all sports. I think there becomes a different level of pressure, and pressure is really what this is all about. It's all about money and pressure. When you think across the board at the money on the line, I think the pressure's highest on college football because they understand that they fund all other sports. And we're talking about a world where real universities are suddenly canceling full majors, not sports. They're canceling majors. They're canceling programs around history and English and things like that because they don't have tuition coming in, because they're not going to have students on campus. So there are real world ramifications that create pressure to try and get athletes back on the field sooner than they should want to. Now, I will argue, as much as especially the NBA talks about fans not being in the stands, I will go back to what Mark J. Spears said with us when this all very first started, one of the first shows we ever did during the time of the conversation of pandemic. One of the things Mark said is that that NBA teams could easily put a DJ in the stands, and they could have a local DJ that means something to culture in that city come in and play some music in the background. I think ideas like that are spectacular. It would take a lot of compromise, though, because when music's televised, it costs everybody money. People may not realize that. So you'd have to have a compromise between the sports business and the entertainment business. So you've got all of these different factors that I think could be analyzed by the NBA to give us some way to make it at least feel somewhat normal. The question is, do you guys even care? Are you so thirsty at some point for competitive balance that you don't even care about whether or not there is any competitive balance? You're so thirsty for sports, I should say. We'll take more of your take. 888-say-ESPN, 888-72. What the heck? Chewy's back? All right, we're going to blow up the clock. Chewy, you're back already with fans in the stands. Chewy, what do you got twice in one segment?
Hey, you there?
Yeah, I got you, Chewy. What do you got?
Dude, hey, real quick, about the fans in the stands, too? This is great. Can you imagine basketball with no fans in the stands? These guys mic'd up. You hear every screech of the shoe, every slap of the wrist, every curse word being thrown out, every mama joke, every single word. They got it in the NFL. And hell, for preseason and all-star game, the baseball has been implemented, and it's been a big hit. Can you imagine basketball mic'd up? That would be great.
Chewy, I'm with you 100%, but we'd have to have some sort of an agreement, like on The Last Dance, where the edited version is played like on a 10-second delay somewhere else. And if I'm sponsors, boy, am I nervous quickly about what these guys are saying that we don't hear. That might hurt the marketing a little bit for some companies. We'll keep taking your take. Should competitive balance matter at all in the return of sports? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 plus. Gonna give you a quick look into what the Lance Armstrong documentary could reveal on Sunday, and we'll keep taking your take. That's next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN News. If you missed the second hour of today's show, you can check it out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimum. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. Does it even matter to you? Competitive balance. Does it even matter when it comes to people returning to sports? I want your take on it. Do you care at all? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If we get some facilities opening up earlier and others opening up later, if we get different capabilities for teams to prep, do you care at all? I'm going to take your take and your take on all of the sports landscape that we're talking about right now. But before we get there quickly, I want you to hear a little bit of what you can expect this weekend as we'll get the new Lance Armstrong documentary coming out this weekend. And Floyd Landis talked about how coming out and talking about doping affected the relationship that he had specifically with Lance Armstrong.
One thing I do have is some empathy for him because I went through some real public humiliation and it hurts, man. And then you want to blame somebody and sometimes it's easier to just pick the most obvious thing or person and blame them. And, you know, to some extent he can blame me, right? Maybe it would still be a secret if it wasn't for me, but you know, it wasn't for me. I couldn't manage it anymore. I had to come clean and he obviously, you know, is not happy about that. And yeah, I hope he finds some peace in his life. I don't have any further animosity towards him.
So first take your take. That's part of what we're going to see this weekend on the Lance Armstrong documentary that comes out on Sunday. We're taking your take. Do you care about competitive balance at all when it comes to the return of sports? Ronald in Florida, what do you got?
Hey, man. That's going to be a good doc. That's going to be a good doc. First of all, my man Chewy, as internet breaking as that would be, sir, that could never happen. Reference Kevin Garnett any game, any year, sir. Okay. Let's take the NBA, for instance, Fitzy. Give me Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis, and KD. Let those four guys pick teams. That's your playoff. Whomever comes out is the champ. It doesn't matter. We just want to see them play. There's not going to be a true champ. I just want to see them play, dude.
I mean, that's actually not a bad idea. Ronald, that's not a bad idea. Instead of coming back, like if we can't come back the normal way, I mean, having everybody go in and do some sort of a tournament that declares a victor of some sort and we can have some fun with is not the worst idea. I'm not out on that. Joshua in South Dakota. Joshua, what do you got?
Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for calling. What's your take?
Well, my take is, look, I lost my job. I'm unemployed. I live in my truck with my bulldog named Spanky. And look, I love sports. I grew up sports. I'm a football fan, huge football fan. I love the Chargers. But here's my take. We need to pause. We need to collect ourselves. We need to heal. We need to believe in people. People are dying. So, hey, let's be real. Sports may not happen. We may have to accept that. I love ESPN Radio. I love you, Fitz. Love to see you grow up and all the stuff going on with Gold Junior and all that. But, hey, how about this? How about if this athlete signed paraphernalia, clothing, all that stuff, and just put it out there and help out these people in this America? And what do you think about that, huh?
Well, Joshua, first and foremost, man, I'm sorry that it's so tough. And these are tough times for a lot of people. And I think that's why this is, you know, there's a line for all of us. And I'll say this. There's nothing I can do to fix the pandemic world that we live in, obviously. I don't have the power or the knowledge. I'm not smart enough to do any of that. What we can try and do, whether it's here or on any ESPN vehicle, is we can try and offer some level of distraction. At our very best, that's what we can be. In sports, in entertainment, in music, and all of it. The best we can do right now is try and distract people till we can get to times that are better for everybody involved in it. So, to your point, you know, yes, people matter more than sports. There's no doubt about it. But more than ever, I believe what we need is hope. And sports, and at least the return and possible return of sports, offers that hope. Will Cain's going to keep talking about it. Plus, he'll react to Horace Grant's strong comments. Y'all stay strong out there. Love y'all. First take your take.